When a medical mistake causes you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Matt Wilhelm sitting in the host chair for Nathan Zagura. Is that a little bit better? Joined by the kid here in the Dog Bowl, as usual, on Friday, Dave DiNatale joining me from the beautiful ESPN Cleveland Galleria Studios. We are enjoying a happy Easter slash happy Passover edition of Cleveland Browns Daily with open dialogue. Again, we want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, or you can tweet at the show, at Browns underscore daily. Emmett, do you have those tweets still?
Yeah, we got
a... Sure, let's knock out a few tweets here.
Okay, well, you know, we've been talking a little bit about the female officiating, and Behind Enemy Lines tweets the show at Browns underscore daily. He says, NFL officiating needs to improve. Too many questionable calls during the playoffs. My concern is competence, not gender.
I think it's a great call.
I do too.
And I think in some cases, that's why, you know, Bill Belichick did or may have not, you know, raged on the other coaches and general managers in the rules committee meetings. Out at the owners' meeting in Arizona when he wanted those the goal line cameras.
Yeah, and that's just to segue into that. It's just almost idiotic the amount of money that they're making in the NFL to say they don't have the money. There's 32. Let's just even go crazy and say it was $100,000 for every stadium, which there's no way it should be. But let's just say it is. There's 32 stadiums. So what's that? $3.2 million?
Right.
The NFL sneezes $3.2 million.
Absolutely. And so I just think, again, Emmett, how do you feel about that, Emmett?
As far as the female official?
The female official, hey, and also, too, the NFL saying that they can't afford goal line cameras to legitimize touchdowns or not.
Oh, the NFL could afford another NFL, so I don't believe that at all. You know, the female officiating thing, it's fine by me. Just get the calls right. Like, I don't care who's making the call. Just get the calls right.
And do you guys think that they should go to replay on penalties?
Oh, boy. That's a tougher thing, because the one thing they don't want to do is have the games be like 4 hours long.
Well, I think, what if you left the challenge system as it was? You only got three challenges, or you got two, and if you got the first two right, you got a third. Still only had three, but expanded it to challenging penalties. So you're really not extending the game per se.
Okay.
It makes it much more strategic for the coach when they use it or when they don't.
Yeah, to me, it's too much thinking. You know,
if that's because you were holding the running back out of the backfield, you don't want to get caught.
That's what I'm saying. You're absolutely right, but I think also as a player, it's just very hard to adapt to rule change after rule change after rule change. And I would think as the NFL, you know, goes out of their way to grab more fans and logistically grab different fans and bring them into the stadium and reel them in to the NFL product, they're having to learn a lot very quickly. You know, and I just think for the a dedicated football fan who either tunes into this show or is on, you know, has their go-to site or person via Twitter, Instagram, or a website for NFL information, they're in tune to all this stuff as much as we are. But for the dad who works all day, who's not fanatical all off season long, and then wants to take his son to a Browns game, and there's flags throwing for certain reasons, and the 12-year-old asks, "Dad, why is the game stopped? I thought we just got a first down." And he has to explain to him a rule change that he doesn't even really know. You know, to me, it just waters down, a game that I am traditionally love, and that's why these extra points and
yeah,
and
I was
so
gonna say,
so
Matt, that's, you know, that's coming. We talked about the shot clock changing in college basketball. Eventually, the extra point system. I mean, they tabled that, I think, until later this month or next month. But you know, that's coming too. How they're gonna address extra points now?
And you know what? I have to bring this up, and I don't know if my younger brother Kurt, is listening, but he clued me in. So April 1st, we did the show, and it was like our April Fool's Day edition of the show, right?
Yes.
And I said, you know, tune in, you know, give us your best joke that you've pulled or that's been pulled on you. And so my brother starts texting me throughout the show, and he's like, I called in, but I was on hold, but I couldn't wait. And I'm like, all right. He goes, but I've already pulled my joke. So for you guys, and I think it was a show that I did with Andrew Gribble when Nathan was out in Florida or down in Florida. And Gribble and I were talking about, you know, the league meetings, all these prospective rule changes, talking about the 2-point conversion and then the free kick from the 50-yard line that the Colts, you know, sent in, which is absolutely ridiculous. We take a caller from John in Avon, which was actually my brother Kurt in Avon, right? And he's the idiot. And I literally sat there, and I'm like, what an idiot. You know, when this guy calls in, he goes, I think we should have the goalpost shifting from side to side.
I said that.
What? Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, he called in and said the same thing. So he's like, I think we should have the goalpost shifting from side to side, and a linebacker is allowed to have a broom on the field to try and block the extra point.
He came up with the broom. That's yes. The new addition.
That's the new addition. So that was my brother's April Fool's preface to April Fool's Day edition of trying to pull one on me.
That's pretty good.
He just goes, you know what? If I had you sitting there in your mind going, that caller was an absolute idiot for calling in to say that, he's like, that was a win for me.
Why don't you give him the bat phone so he doesn't have to sit on hold?
Right.
You know, well, he doesn't know any better. And Dino, to be honest with you, was like, I just got hip to the WKNR hotline, you know?
Oh, you learned the fact that we have a hotline?
Yeah, especially just for me, right?
Yeah.
Well, I would try, you know, after Buckeye games, you know, I do the pregame, I watch the Buckeye games, and, you know, I have a take on something. I would just call in the 216-578-0-50 like everybody else.
Funny. Right.
You know,
and you can't get through.
Not to kick a man when he's not here, but Gibbs isn't always the best at answering the bat phone.
He's not.
This is new to me. I wasn't aware of this.
Because I usually call during the – I used to call in and do my segments.
Yeah.
So I would call in during the break. And I'd call, and then I'd text Nate. I'd be like, no one's answering. And he'd have to text Gibbs to answer the phone.
Speaking of calls, you guys want to grab one here?
Absolutely. Let's take it.
Matt, let's go back to familiar ground for you, Las Vegas. Let's hear from Ryan.
Oh, I love it.
Ryan in Las Vegas. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Wilhelm, man. That was a fun day we had, man. That was a lot of alcohol you bought for me and my friends. Dude.
You are welcome.
That was a blast.
I don't remember it, but you're welcome.
Hey, man. In all honesty, you know, who's that famous swimmer, the one who's in trouble with the
–
Michael Phelps?
Yeah, he was at the Palms, and he was there with a bunch of people. Obviously, I was there. I wasn't friends with him or know him. But, again, he was doing the exact same thing. The whole place was getting shots. The whole place was getting – beer. I mean, it was all on him, and I don't know how he makes a lot of money because he's a swimmer. He's not
sponsorships, bro.
Yeah, but again, that happens all the time, man. But again, hey, back to the scenario you guys are speaking of female referee. Again, I have zero problem with that. That's fine. That's phenomenal. The only thing I have an issue with is probably feeling awkward. The players feeling awkward knowing that the female. Not saying they're going to try to hit a referee, but again, if the referee does get knocked down, it is a rough sport, obviously. And if you're in the trenches, literally in the trenches, if you're in the, you know, right near a linebacker and a running back's coming, that linebacker can't just avoid you if you're in the way to try to get that running back. So again, obviously, I don't think a Lomas Brown situation will occur. I believe that's his name, where the flag.
Orlando Brown.
I'm sorry. You know, I don't think like a situation where a player will literally try to harm a female ref. But at the same time, I just recognize, you know, and I'm sure players are aware that there's a female on the field, and it's just a little bit awkward. At the same time, I don't think it'll be an issue, but I'm all for it. And I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, some of these male refs, these old Alta Cocker guys, are, you know, they're 60, 65 years old and weigh maybe $150 soaking wet. Any of these officials that get hit by NFL caliber athletes and pads are going to be in trouble.
Except
female
for guns, hockey.
Yeah, except for hockey league.
Yeah, and also, too, the one thing that we have to understand, and I don't believe this is the case by any means for this female referee, she's not going to walk in and be the judge that, like, stands, you know, immediately by the quarterback or the guy that used to stand right in between the backers. She's going to be a line judge. She's going to be from behind, you know, a way to just, you know, get her those reps and actively participate. And more so than anything, all I could ever hope for and want for is that she goes out and she knocks it out of the park, open the door for more. Because if she's getting it right and she's graded high, good for her. You know, she's walked the same process that every referee has had to walk to get to where she's got. And it's a great accomplishment for her personally and her and all females that they've broken into the game the way she did. So more power to her.
Is there any interaction, like you see in basketball a lot or in baseball, interaction between the players and the officials? Football, it seems like there's a little bit less.
The most dialogue, of course, between coaches is with the guys that are on the sideline. You know, I want to throw a red flag. I need a timeout. Yeah. Those are the guys that you talk to openly. And then, of course, you know, head coaches call over a referee in a break, just like an NBA referee does, but at a timeout.
You know, as a player, you're not.
But as a player, the guy that you talk to the most is the guy that spots the ball. because he's the guy that kind of stands there with his foot on the ball during a timeout, so the ball, you know, no inches are gained or lost by, you know, a huddle being too close and kicking it. That's the guy you joke with. Or the guy that used to be right there in between the linebackers, he's the guy that you communicate with the most. You joke throughout a game if you're winning. If you're losing, you're like, get the hell out of my way. You know, and that's the one thing that you do have to be concerned about is, you know, and that's where that training camp that I talked about, when the referees visit, they change locations to try to get best angles on the calls that they're supposed to make. And when they were tweaking that position from, is he too deep? I mean, and some guys want to get in there, you know, like 5.5 yards and you're lined up at 5. You really do, almost like you're communicating with your safety or another linebacker or defensive lineman. You got to tell them, hey, dude, I'm coming your way. You better move, you know, because they can deter you or put you behind a play that you should be able to make, whether it's a sweep outside or, it's a zone blitz and you've got to drop that way immediately and he's standing there and you don't get to your zone. It's a completion. So it's very interesting. So, again, the hours went quick. Keep the calls coming. 216-578-0850. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, the kid here, live in the Dog Bowl. Dave DiNatale, back at the Galleria Studio. One thing I want to get to, it's less than 2 weeks away, the uniform unveil. So I want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. The kid, your expectations. Dave DiNatale, what are your expectations? What are your hopes? What do you think they look like in your head right now if you had to script them out on a piece of paper? Would it be a stick figure? I'm sure. Mine would be a stick figure. Matt Wilhelm on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.